You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Got a great show for you tonight. You know, a lot of times I ask myself a question. Are these people, are they just doing their job? Or are they singling me out? You know, how do you recognize when you are being singled out? And you know what? What do you do about it? You know, I think it's interesting because in life we hear people all the time say, hey man, I'm just doing my job. Okay? Lay off me. I'm just doing my job. And you know, sometimes that might be the serious truth. You know, sometimes there are certain jobs out there that people actually have to go to some sort of level of consistency. And other times, people use that to hide behind. I'm just doing my job. Like there's no middle ground. And then sometimes we find ourselves in situations where, guess what? You're being completely singled out. You know, and I've been on both sides of that coin. And I know from personal experience that there are ways of handling these situations without losing your head and without giving up what you truly want. Good evening, Bill. How are you doing?
I am doing wonderful, Ashley. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm just tired of being singled out. You know, I think a lot of people listening tonight are going to understand what I feel like. And I know that personally, I think we can all relate to that when we deal with people that are just doing their job.
I can definitely relate to that because I've been on both sides of that coin.
Yeah, and I mean, and I understand sometimes it's just the way it is. But other times I do feel that things are being pushed a little too far, especially when you're a straight up honest person with a good attitude, you know, not trying to push people around, not trying to mess with people, and you're still getting the shaft.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that's just a pet peeve of mine is to be the person someone takes something out on. You know what I'm saying? Especially when I'm not the one that caused the situation in the first place. I used to deal with that when I was in the insurance industry all the time. It was one of the things that led me to, you know, get out of it.
I totally agree with you. And a lot of times I like to try to end that. Not pass the buck, but end that. You just change it up. Hey, what's up? You know, how you doing? How's your day? You know, hopefully they'll get better.
Right.
But then sometimes it doesn't get any better. You know what I mean? You just happen to be the brunt of their attitude that day. Keenan, how you doing?
You.
What's going on?
Chilling. You know, I'm here. Had a long week. It was my birthday, as y'all know, and so
yes, happy birthday!
Yeah, yeah,
happy birthday,
yeah.
To Kiki.
I did it up. Oh, you just had to bring that up, didn't
Kiki.
You?
Kiki. Well,
at last night's birthday party, my cousin Francois showed up. You know, and like, you know, Francois. We grew up together, and the thing is, I was saying that. Growing up, you know, I never called him Francois. He never called me Keenan. It was, you know, either Fran or Key, you know, but when we were like little, it was Fall Fall and Kiki. And
I
that's where
that
came
How
from.
How cute is that?
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, I'm too grown to be cute right now.
Well, I think he's so cute. So, you know, so let's talk about this. Throughout tonight's show, I'm going to share, and we're going to all share some personal situations that directly apply. I mean, I think to those people that are just doing their job, and there's others who are really not interested in helping us at all, but instead would rather see us choke and die. You know, there are people out there that would just rather see you just fall off a curb and get hit by a cab, and they don't even know you. They don't even know you. That's what's so funny about it.
And most of the time you can tell before you even talk to them because you can see it in their face and their body language.
Yeah, you just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yep.
Or they just may not like the way you look, period. That's just all it is. Or, I mean, like, they are, you know, they could be doing their job, but the thing is, they do their jobs very, very badly, I think.
No, you know? I understand what you're saying. I mean, I've been on both sides of that. You know, I had a recent run-in, actually, Keenan. I thought you'd appreciate this. I had a recent run-in with TSA.
Okay.
So anybody that's listening tonight, I had a recent run-in with TSA, and I think it's a good place to start tonight's discussion. You know, I was on dealing with people doing their job, you know, and about 6 months ago, you know, I actually did something. I followed up, I filed and did all my fingerprints and all that stuff for TSA pre-screening where they pre-check you and you give your fingerprints and all that kind of stuff and you give all the information about you. you do this, and if you pass, you get to kind of go to a different line of security when you get to the airport. You know, you get to go in this different line. And the reason why I wanted to do it is because I really just don't like taking my shoes off. I don't like taking my shoes off when I get in line to go to the airport because, one, I'm always wearing difficult-to-take-off shoes, and there's, like, no place to sit down. They don't give you, like, a bunch of chairs and stuff to sit down to take off your shoes and to take your time. I'm either falling over myself or I'm wearing shoes with no socks, and I'm having to walk through that airport. You get dirt all on the bottom of your feet.
Yeah, that's the thing I can't stand. It's just dirty.
It's dirty.
Yeah.
I mean, and you can't get to the bath. You got to put your shoes back on to get to the bathroom to wash your feet back off. You know, I mean, you can't just walk down the hallway of the airport with no shoes on, you know? I mean, you don't know what's going on. So I just don't really like that. And, you know, and I also am not a big fan of that machine, that one that you have to put your hands over your head and it swirls around you real quick, you know? Not a big fan of it. I'd rather just go through a regular security module and just kind of like not have to take off my shoes. So I paid this money. I did the security stuff. I didn't have to do all this stuff. Well, anyway, the other day, I check in and I get my boarding pass and I get in the TSA line, you know, the one that's like the pre-check line because you've given all your information. I mean, you have to be a real idiot to try to do something after you've given all your fingerprints. They know everything about you. They know where you live, your relatives, everything. I mean, you're pretty much a known subject, you know?
There are idiots out there, though.
Yeah, maybe so.
But you're not one of them, thank goodness.
Yeah, not really. And so I get up there and I go through the regular machine and they're like, okay, yeah, we're going to need to do a higher security on you. And I said, excuse me? And they
go,
oh, you've been selected. We're going to need to bring you over here real quick. And so I walk over there and next thing you know, I'm getting a hand swab. You know, where they swab to see if you've been touching any sort of explosives, you know?
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, I'm having to go through the regular machine, take the shoes off. Go through the regular machine. And then they decided they're going to pull my bags. Go through my bags real quick. Make sure there's nothing in there. And I'm thinking, what in the heck did I do all this TSA thing for if I'm going to still get this route? I mean, what is that about?
I don't know. Maybe they're just doing their jobs. Maybe that's what it is. They're just doing their jobs.
Well, good night, folks.
I'm just saying. I mean, because the thing is, every time I've been to a you know, the airport, you know, I see all these television monitors and I see wall-to-wall coverage of CNN reminding me that there are these people called terrorists and they just want to kill us all because they just don't like Americans. So because there's something called terrorists, we have to do all this extra, extra security screening upon you, even though it is annoying and it does take so much time and some of it is very much so unnecessary, but we're going to show you CNN just to make sure that you're still afraid of the terrorists. And so that justifies us doing our jobs.
He's very afraid.
It was at random, Ashley. I mean, they chose you at random, and that's
okay. So that's key. So I'm not arguing the fact right here because I think this right here is a good sign of people that are actually doing their job. Okay. However, I don't care when people are doing their job. People still have a tendency to get mad about it, right? I mean, I started fuming about it. Because I was like, I can't believe I went up to the airport, spent hours of my time driving there, going in there, giving my fingerprints, paying the money, doing all that stuff, waiting 2 months, coming back out with it, and all I have to show is nothing. Nothing. I'm just randomly selected to go get extra security done on, right? You know how that freaks you out? If you don't sit back and just think about it a second, that's when people go on the rampage and start screaming. So what did I do? Started raising my voice.
Uh-oh.
So I start raising my voice, and the next thing you know, I see there's a whole little group of the TSA people like up on a tall riser type thing, and I'm like, who do I talk to about this, right? And they were like, oh, here you go, and they hand me a business card, the size of a little business card that has a 1-800 number on it, where I can either send in my comments or complaints, and I'm like, I got all mad about all this, and all I have is a business card that gave me a 1-800 number that I may or may not get through to. But how many people listening tonight have been in that same exact position dealing with people that are just doing their job? Okay, I'm not saying that they singled me out, but they were just doing their job, but yet you just get so darn angry.
And I think a lot of times it happens when, okay, I'm just doing my job, but I'm not really enjoying my job. Yeah,
right.
I'm doing it for the paycheck, however meager it might be. And you don't pay me enough to deal with, you know, bad attitudes, you know, from people, you know, like this, you know, angry passenger in the TSA line. So I'm just going to give her the freaking 800 number. And, you know, I don't care if she's mad or not. You know, you probably caught that from one or two of those agents. You know, that, those guys don't get paid very much.
Well, I'm sure, but it's like the whole universe is kind of on that I don't get paid well enough, you know? And I know that all of us sitting in here tonight don't get paid well enough. You know what I mean?
Amen,
but I still do my job in a certain manner where I can look at myself and respect myself and actually say, hey, I made it very clear to the people on the other side of this issue why it was happening to them. Because I think clarity and honesty and understanding why something's happening actually diffuses the situation and allows people to do their job. So when we return, we're going to be talking more about that other side of the coin. The other side of the coin when people might be starting to single you out. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
You know what I'm craving? A little perspective. That's it. I'd like some fresh, clear, well-seasoned perspective. Can you suggest a good wine to go with that?
With, what, sir?
Perspective. Fresh out, I take it. Very well. Since you're all out of perspective and no one else seems to have it in this bloody town, I'll make you a deal. You provide the food, I'll provide the perspective. Which would go nicely with a bottle of Cheval Blanc 1947.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're discussing about situations. Are they just doing their job? Are they just doing their job? Or are they singling you out? You know, we're going to talk about how to really recognize when you're being singled out and what you can do about it. Because there has to be some sort of recourse. Okay, sometimes there's a difference between people just doing their job because it is protocol, possibly because of national security, okay? But there is a switch in that matter, and there is a difference between the two. And that's what I'm wanting to show right now in this segment, is that there's a complete difference between the two. We're going to get into the concept of being singled out, but let's finish up talking about the situation that I had with TSA. Now, I know that it's all about national security, and I get it, and I understand that. And you know what? I like that they do their job, and I like that they try to make sure that we're safe. I like that too. However, as a human response, when you've done everything, you've dotted all your I's and you've crossed all your T's, and you're a good citizen, and you don't do things wrong, and you don't break the law, you think, okay, well, hey, I deserve to be treated with some form of respect, or at least not, you know, not
courtesy.
Down.
Yeah, just courtesy. Common courtesy.
Courtesy. And so that was my issue. That's what I was talking about. I was very disappointed in the fact that I had filled out all the paperwork. I was passed. I had my number. Everything's good. Everything's in the computer. And then I thought I got singled out, but you know what? I think it was more of a random selection.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's fast forward a little bit, because, you know, it happens again. So this is not just a one-time thing. So another time.
On the same trip?
No, on the very next trip, about a week later.
Okay.
I'm on a trip. I get singled out on four different parts of the trip.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Yeah, not once, but four times.
Four different times.
I mean, like, to the point where I started the second time, first time again, I started getting a little angry. But I didn't get the hothead attitude. I just did what they said, and I walked through. The second time, maybe I was a little hungover, you know? So I just did what they told me
to
do.
Not you, Ashley.
I just did what they told me to do, right? I literally walked through there, and they're like, okay, we need to go. You need to go over here. And so next thing you know, my hands are getting swabbed again for any sort of, you know, anything, whatever. And I'm being sent to a different line again. Away from my husband, away from everybody else. And I let it go. I let it go. The next time, I get selected for my bags that were actually checked to be hand-checked. So there I am. I mean, this is happening I went on a trip, and this is happening again, and I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. And literally, this time, they pull my bags off from the other security thing. They bring it onto this table, and they go, okay, are you Ashley Burgess? So I'm like, yes. And they go, come on right over here while we go through every bit of your bags. And I stood there. And at this point in time, I started making conversation with the guy. We started laughing. We talked about friends and family and how he likes it in Puerto Rico and yada, 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 and why I'm being hand-selected again to do this. It randomly happens, apparently, every 20th passenger.
And,
if it's every 20th passenger, then that's not random.
Well, no, it's not random.
No, that's not random at all. I mean, that's, I mean, like random.
Yeah, they're not pulling the in Vegas.
Whatever, the slots.
The slot arm. Thank you very much.
But I mean, do like for there. Every 20th passenger. Oh well, this is random, but it's every 20th. No. I mean, but I don't know what TSA. With TSA, but the thing is, I do notice this. It's like, you know, it's always, well, I'm not going to say always, but for the most of the time, like when it comes to, you know, okay, the difference between being singled out or someone just doing a job, I notice that happens a lot whenever you're engaged with law enforcement personnel.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I notice a lot, because I remember a long time ago when I was a teenager, it was my friends and me, and so we're about to go hang out, you know, whatever, and there's four of us in the car.
Okay.
Four African-American males in a car rolling down the street.
Let me get it. Y'all got pulled over?
Yeah, we got pulled over.
DWB.
Basically, driving while black, you know, and so we're all sitting there, you know, what the thing is, like, the driver, my buddy, he was at the stoplight, and he was eating a graham cracker. The thing is, as he was eating this graham cracker at the stoplight, he was looking down. Police pull up beside us. We all knew that the cops were there. We didn't care. I mean, we're just
eating graham crackers.
Yeah, we're eating graham crackers.
Got some milk, got some graham crackers.
Yeah, got some graham crackers. Rolling down the street and graham crackers. We're gangster like that, you know?
So, you got a little alphabet soup and all. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah. My boy Kiki, the OG.
Yeah, I know, right? We go hard like that with the graham crackers.
Kiki go hard.
That's how they roll in the hood.
And so the thing is, the light turns green, so my friend did not go immediately. He looks up, oh, the light's green. So he goes, cop pulls us over. Rolls down the window, cop says, I smell weed. No one was smoking anything.
he had to justify the stop. Or he was fishing. You know what I mean?
No, he was fishing.
Yeah.
He was definitely fishing because he said, well, the reason why I pulled you over is because when the light turned green, you didn't go immediately after the light turned green. Now, the thing is, I know whenever I drive and when that light turns green, I count 1, 2 before I go just in case some crazy Yahoo thinks he can make the yellow light.
That's good. Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, just in case, you know. But the thing is, he's like, oh, well, you didn't go immediately. And then next thing you know, we're all being asked to step out the car.
Assumed position.
Assumed a position and everything. And all of us are getting searched. And, you know, they're running us for warrants and everything else. Everyone comes back clean, right? So then the police officer had us all stand on the curb. And then he says to us, well, the reason why I pulled you over, it wasn't because y'all are black. That's what he said.
Without being prompted.
Yeah. Without being prompted. And then my buddy says, well, is it because we're all wearing hats? You know? And so the guy's like, well, you know, he didn't go. And then when you rolled down the window, I smelled weed. And granted, no one had anything. No, nothing.
Whatever, Kiki.
No one was smoking anything.
Because we know how you roll.
I roll hard with the graham crackers.
I get what you're saying, though, because a lot of times it's the way you look. But, you know, I asked that question. I said, is it the way I'm looking? And somebody said, oh, yeah, you would look like a subject, like a target, like somebody that might be involved with some sort of illicit activity.
You've got this crazy look in your eyes.
But you know what? You know what? The biggest deal to me, though, don't you agree with this, Keenan, is the biggest deal is they don't allow you clarity and understanding.
No, they don't.
Okay, they don't tell you why they're doing what they're doing. If they did, you wouldn't be that freaked out about it.
And here, another point on that, Keenan, and of course, this is in light of current events. I think we all know, you know, where I'm going with this.
Right.
You know, I have known a couple of police officers in my time, and I think that by and large, you know, a cop gets an ad. And by the way, 95-98% of all police officers are decent human beings, you know, and they want to protect and serve the public. But it's like they put in this position of authority, and, you know, then someone gives them lip, you know, or attitude, you know, and it's like, you know, what are you doing this to me for? I'm just doing my job. How dare you question my authority? You know what I'm saying, Keenan?
Here's the thing. Police officers are public servants, and they are paid by taxpayer money. I am an American citizen. I did serve this country. I do pay my taxes. Therefore, a police officer will not and should not say whatever he feels like saying to me or any other American citizen.
Well, especially when he's trying to justify why he pulled you over in the first place.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's trying to justify it. I mean,
yeah.
But,
I agree with what you're saying, though. You're saying, hey, we pay their salaries.
Exactly.
They can't just sit there and unload on you.
It is my taxpayer money that puts food on their table. It is my taxpayer money that feeds their kids. It's my taxpayer money that, you know, helps pay their mortgage or pay their rent. Without us, they have no food and no shelter.
Yeah, I'm just saying, to tie it back into Ashley's point, you know, a lot of times, you know, they come at it from the perspective of, you know, I'm just doing my job. You know, my job is to enforce the law. What are you giving me attitude for? You know what I'm saying?
And in Keenan's situation, this is sounding a lot more that like being singled out. You know,
he was definitely singled out.
And we're going to be talking about more about that here later on in the hour, because being singled out, you know what it's about. And we're going to talk about that.
At the same time, though, I have dealt with police officers that were literally doing their job.
And some people are just doing their job.
Yeah,
you know?
Like if I get pulled over for speeding, I know I was speeding.
And I know they were doing their job.
I know they were doing their job. I'm like, yeah.
They have discretion, though. They have discretion on what they can do.
Now, like, I remember once I was driving. I was coming back from the gym and everything. And so coming back from the gym, my blood's all pumping and everything like that. And I'm rocking out to Wu-Tang Clan.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm rocking out to Wu-Tang Clan. So I'm driving down the highway, you know. And so, like, my head's bobbing and everything. I'm looking in the rearview mirror. I see red and blue lights. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm being pulled over. And then I look at the speedometer, I was like, yeah, I did that. You know, so.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I did that, you know. So I pulled over and everything, rolled down the window. The thing is, I still have my music up, right? So here's Wu-Tang Clan Ain't Nothing to, you know the rest, right? So
yeah, we won't repeat it on the family show, but I know where you're going with that.
We won't repeat it. But he's like, I chased you for like a couple of miles. I'm like, well, I was unaware that you were even behind me because I was rocking out to the Wu-Tang Clan. Those were my exact words.
Yeah, I've told that to a cop before, too, that was following me apparently when I was in a U-Haul one time. And he apparently followed me for 3.5 miles and asked me to quickly get out of the U-Haul and come to the back so he could search the U-Haul. But I ended up getting out of any sort of ticket, but I explained the fact that I was too short to really see all the way to the back. So anyway, especially when he's right behind the U-Haul. But
and flashing a little leg didn't help, or didn't hurt, rather.
Flashing the leg?
Yeah.
I had jeans on. Hey, baby, look at my Joes, baby,
right.
My jeans. Yeah, so when we return, we're going to be talking a little bit more about the concept of people doing their job versus the concept of being singled out. Because, you know, the biggest thing about when they're doing their job is they would just supply some clarity and some understanding and explain why the situation is taking place. You know what? You wouldn't mind them doing their job so much. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
We're going to draw some perspective. We're going to draw a road and some phone poles and a building going into the distance with some mountains and shadows and all that kind of stuff. We're going to do it really fast. You can't do perspective without a horizon that you're looking into the distance at.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's show, we've been discussing the concept of people just doing their job. You know, people doing their job, whether it's good, bad, and different. You know, whether they're singling you out, though. You know, sometimes people can do their job, and they give you this great explanation of why something's happening. For example, okay, there I am with TSA. And I'm not even going to go into all of the situations because we don't have enough time tonight. I'd be here for hours. Okay, I'd just be here for hours. But there were so many times that this happened. And, you know, it wasn't until like the sixth time that the man actually explained to me why. And I think that is the biggest issue when it comes to society and people and humans in general. It's the last thing you want to figure out is why is this happening? I mean, think about it. When people have a condition or a disease and the doctors don't know what it is and they get all these tests run and they keep going in and out of the hospital and they're sick and they don't know what it is, not knowing what it is way more scarier than actually having an idea and having it as a name, giving a name to the situation. Doesn't make it any better, but understanding what it is and giving it a name allows clarity. And that was my issue. Several times at TSA, they could have easily told me, this is why we're doing this, and been more comforting, maybe more helpful. And I think that's what it is. Yes, they were doing their job. And I'm sure there's a lot more to the situation and the algorithms and who gets picked and how many times it happens. And the system probably spits this out and this happens and yada, yada. And it happens like that. But when that man finally told me, hey, we check every 20 passengers going through at this time of the day. Okay, that made it a lot more easy for me to accept because I realized, okay, you know, 20, you know, I have a certain amount of chances to get this and I happen to get this. So you know what? I'm not going to be in a bad mood about it. But I think there's a big difference between people that are doing their job and explain versus people that don't explain. And I think in Keenan's situation, that's being singled out. That's being singled out. That's obviously being singled out. And I know, Bill, you and I on break were talking about a situation that you were dealing with about being singled out.
Well, yeah, and this is from the perspective of the guy doing his job. And, you know, the person is singling you out as the person to take their anger out on. So, you know, I used to be an insurance agent in a lifetime ago, you know, and I was in that profession for 11 years. Well, I was still living in my native Texas at the time. Where I was an insurance agent. And this is about, you remember this, Ashley? About, 6 or 7 years ago when homeowner insurance rates just went through the roof in that state.
Oh, yeah.
And for those of you who don't live in Texas, the reason why is because of a black mold situation. And all of a sudden, claims just started skyrocketing.
I remember that.
Yeah. And so premiums went up. So, of course, you know, the general public, anytime premiums go up, they're just hopping mad. I remember one time that there was a guy who got mad over a $5 increase in his premium and just wouldn't let it go. Anyway, so when all this went down, I started getting phone call after phone call after phone call, irate customer after irate customer after irate customer. And we're not just talking pennies here. I mean, there was a significant increase in their premiums.
Right.
So, I would patiently explain, you know, very sorry. There's been an outbreak of black mold. We expect claims to go up. We need to make sure we have enough, you know, money in reserve to pay, you know, any claims, you know, because homes cost a lot much, you know, blah, 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 blah. When it started getting irate customer number 10,
mm-mm,
irate customer number 15,
oh,
irate customer number 20. And now all of a sudden, because I'm explaining the same thing over and over and over again to irate customer after irate customer, and my patience is starting to wear thin. And I think by the time I got to irate customer number 20, my happy professional self had kind of taken a back seat. And I'm sitting here going, what are you yelling at me for? I'm just work here. You know, I mean, I didn't make your premiums. If it was up to me, I'd make your premiums go down.
Right.
You know, and I didn't do it. I'm just, you know, I'm just the unlucky, you know what that has to tell you about it.
Right.
And so then after that, you know, I started, and I'll be honest with you, I started getting an attitude.
Well, let me ask you, what was the difference? Okay, so let's talk. So you said a lot of people call in with this attitude. What about the people that would call in without the attitude? What about the people like me that when I deal with a situation, I call in with the utmost respect? And what happens when those people get screwed on the line?
Well, that's a really good question. And see, this is where I, you know, came up short, and I'll admit it. It's that, you know, after irate customer number 20, then, you know, the people who would call in, and they're not mad. They just want to know what's going on. But because I've had so many people who were mad, it's kind of like Star Trek, you know, shields up.
Yeah.
Before you even talk.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm expecting you to be mad even before we start talking. And that it just, you know, luckily.
So you already got your defense mechanism up.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I mean, luckily I'm working in a call center at the time. They couldn't see my body language, but they could hear my voice. I mean, I was just already defensive about it.
Let's talk about this, though. Okay, real quick. So what would you do to make that change? What is necessary to bridge the gap at that point?
Well, first of all, awareness. Aware that
aware that person's angry and aware that you're angry and aware that the situation.
I mean, more aware of myself because I think we can all relate to this. Once you kind of get into that state of mind, it's hard to be aware of it. I think.
Well, I think the biggest thing is to put yourself in their situation.
That's right.
I mean, you know, and I'm talking about somebody that's a decent person that's not over there just yelling and screaming at you. I mean, I don't want anybody calling me up and using the F-bomb a million times.
Right.
I'm probably not going to stay on the phone very long.
Right.
You know what I mean? I might not say the thing back, but I might just say, hey, call me back when you've gotten a little bit of clarity.
Right,
right, right, right.
When
right.
you slow your roll down, we'll talk.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think also in my case, it was just the realization, and this is after, you know, my supervisor had a chat with me, and, you know, it wasn't a confrontation or anything like that, just, you know. And she said, look, understand that, okay, this might be the 20th or 25th person you've had to explain this to, but for that person on the phone, this is their first time.
Exactly. They don't know any of that.
Yeah, exactly. They don't know that you've dealt with all these other, you know, irate people.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, because last night, you know, I was obviously at Keenan's birthday party.
Yep.
Okay. And I had two other events to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And so what did I do? I decided to take Uber. I'm sure a lot of people listening out there have heard of Uber. It's a new, you know, driver type scenario. So it's not like a cab, but it's kind of cabs, you know. But they have like a
kind of a cross between cab and a limo.
UberX, and so you have Toyota Corollas and Honda Accords.
Yeah.
You know, I take the cheaper version, okay, because we're not getting paid that much on the station, on all the stations. God bless our hearts. Anyway, so I take the, you know, the UberX, because I guess that's the smaller version. You know, you get the more compact vehicles. And, you know, I went to an event before I went to Keenan's, and when I was leaving there to head over to Keenan, I put the app on there and I asked for, you know, a car. And, you know, about 10 minutes later, I get a call from this guy, and he seemed like he was in a really bad mood. He had like this riff and miff about it. I was like, hello. He's like, hey. And I was like, hello. And he's like, I don't even know where you're at. And I was like, well,
how's that my problem?
I was like, you know, let me.
Yeah, I mean, like, you have, you know, Google, dude. I mean,
I know. It's like, it's right. I have it too, you know? And I said, well, I'm actually in a building. Let me, I understand. I mean, it's right around that address. You know, within, like, give or take, I'll come out there. I just got to go down the hallway, get in the elevator, go down. So just give me a couple minutes. He hangs up. So we leave, we say goodbye, we leave, we get in the elevator, we go downstairs, we go out the door, we go up this ramp, because they have like a, you know, like a handicap type ramp, come around the side. I look up and down both sides of the street, there's nothing, there's nobody. So I go to call him, and guess what? All of a sudden there's a message that comes up on my phone saying that your driver has canceled the trip.
What?
Yeah, the driver's canceled the trip, decided he's going to cancel the trip. Okay, so I'm just standing out there going, okay. So I request another driver. It takes about 12 minutes because that person wasn't in the area, right? So they come. Guy's very nice. We get dropped off at Keenan's birthday. Guess what? I get an email saying that I have been charged $6.
Really?
Because the driver had to leave and had waited for more than 5 minutes. No. I mean, the guy waited a minute if he waited a minute.
No. He didn't wait a minute. He didn't wait a minute. No, here's the thing. About the location of my party that I had.
Right.
I'm like, Uber drivers, I'm like, they pretty much circle that location like vultures.
They do.
They do. Yes, they do.
Looking for pickups?
Yes. Yes. Especially at the location of my party.
But because, you know, I mean, you know, if somebody's had too much to drink.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, exactly. I'm
okay,
like,
I got you.
No, it's a gold mine for Uber.
There you go.
It is. It's a straight up gold mine. So the senator, what did he say? He waited for how long?
Over 5 minutes to cancel the trip.
No. He didn't wait over 5 minutes.
Exactly.
No, he didn't wait over 5 minutes at all. He probably waited like 5 seconds, saw that someone wasn't standing out there or coming up to him, say, hey, are you the Uber driver?
And, yeah.
You know, having this whole, you know, okay, I'm that person, let's go, where you going, blah, say, blah. No, that's what happened was probably the previous ride that he gave or the one prior to that one, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like probably like had an attitude with him. Or maybe didn't tip him or something. It was something. It was something that set him off.
I got it.
Yeah, and exactly. Then you got it. Because the thing is, he did not take the time to actually voice his grievance or, you know, whatever to the person who was actually causing the grievance.
Well, yeah, and to hang up. You're right. And to hang up on me without even saying, okay, I'll be downstairs or I'll see. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you already knew the guy had a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
So fast forward, I'm leaving the third event I had last night, and I go to set up, you know, to go on to the application for the Uber application, and I push, you know, get a car. And there's no, I mean, like, I was just putting the little dot, the pin where I was at, and I said something like, get a car. And right then, my phone dies. It dies. It just dies. There's nothing I can do. So a friend of mine calls the Uber on her phone, takes care of it. We take off. I look at my email this morning and it says, oh, okay, you got charged another $6. Now, let me tell you, I had walked out right then and there when we called that other driver. No other drivers were coming around, okay? So I sent an email to customer service of Uber to try to get things straightened out because I didn't feel like I got the best of situation. And so I actually sent a message to a guy here at Uber. And I sent something and he said, oh, okay, I know you'd like to speak on the phone, but we need to give you the support, so we need you to email us what happened. So I emailed him honestly what happened, what went down. And when we return, I'm going to talk about exactly what happened and about how I feel like I was singled out, but also duped. And I'm going to tell you about how you can deal with situations when you get singled out like this, what you actually have to do to overcome these situations and to move on with your life. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
I like Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, but I prohibit my workers from listening to it.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing when people are doing their job or when they're just singling you out. You know, how to recognize when you're being singled out and what you need to do about it. Because you know what? You do have recourse. You do have power. Don't let people fool you into the fact that you don't have any power, because that's just not true. I mean, we're all human beings. Not one is made more important than the other. So right before the break, we've been discussing this Uber situation. And by the way, if you've been pushed around, if you feel like you've been singled out, we're on Facebook right now. We're discussing this on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Yes, you can like Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on Facebook, and you can also follow Ashley Burgess on Twitter. You can also follow me on Twitter at Keenan Cobb. I'm not going to give you my Facebook profile at all, y'all.
So. That's Cobb with two B's, by the way.
Yeah, Cobb with two B's, not one. Not
and you don't know if you want to see his profile, guys.
I was
going
to say, take a word for it.
So let's go back to this Uber thing. So you think about it. Okay, so I had a guy cancel on me on the trip, okay, and then charge me anyway, and did not wait 5 minutes. And you have another situation where my phone died, and there's no way. I mean, maybe there was a driver that came by, but I mean, I was out there within 5 minutes, and the area that I was in, it even said 10 minutes in the little bracket thing on there. So I don't, they don't really travel in that area. It's kind of, it's a certain part of a town. So anyway, long story short, I sent this letter to Uber, you know, explaining, and they responded with, you know, it sent us the whole entire explanation, which I did. And I got a letter back, and I just posted that on Facebook right now.
Yes, you did.
And there's a guy named Brandon that responded to me again, and he told me how sorry he was about the trouble. And he said, I'm happy to explain with you what happened. So he told me, you know, basically this looks like a cutout of some sort of document that they use. Since the driver makes a commitment to you, after the first 5 minutes wait, we would charge a cancellation fee to fairly compensate the driver for the time and cost. If you'd like to look at our cancellation policy, click here. And then he went on further and he said, you know what? You should be sure to have enough charge on your phone battery before placing a request, since requests are confirmed and completed through your phone. Totally understand that this happens. The cancellation fee is compensation, and those will be charged. If we can help you with anything else, let us know.
Yeah, Ashley, have you ever read Colin Powell's, General Colin Powell's autobiography?
No.
You know what he calls letters like this?
What?
The bed bug letter.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You know what I'm talking about.
Because
General Powell told the story about a friend of his. And back then, they used to actually ride, or people rode trains more often than they flew, you know, and a lot of trains, especially back east, had the Pullman cars, you know, where you actually sleep in them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so the guy, a friend of his, had a room in a Pullman car and got bitten by a bed bug.
Oh, God.
And, you know, and he was just mad as, you know what, fired off an angry letter, you know, to the company. You know, about a couple weeks later, gets a letter back from the president. So sorry, sir. It is unacceptable. I will definitely get to the bottom of this. So he's feeling pretty good. Okay, you know, president company writes me back. Then all of a sudden, what slips out of the envelope is a little piece of paper. Send this SOB the bed bug letter.
Oh. Mm-mm.
You know, this, I mean, see, what you just got is a bed bug letter. In other words, it's a kind of a form letter because they get so many complaints.
Yeah.
It's all this guy did was cut and paste from the yeah, generic form letter.
Here's the thing. I have canceled on Uber also, and I've never got charged, and I never received an email stating I got charged.
See, and that's the thing. And so I was going to fire back with this letter. Now, all this happened an hour before the show. So I was going to fire back with a letter, Brandon. So you plan to do nothing to help me make the situation right. I'm actually surprised, but then why would I be? This is a bully move, and who else can I speak with? I will definitely discuss this with all colleagues and friends and get their honest opinion. Before I sent that, I took a break.
Count it to 10.
And I realized, what good is this going to be doing to fire this to Brandon? Because Brandon doesn't want to help me at all. Brandon would like to see me choke and die.
He sent you the bed bug letter.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
so, you know, I'm going to call the bank in the morning and cancel the $12 charge. And guess what? I win. Game over.
Not only that, you also social media shamed Brandon.
And I social media shamed Uber because, yeah, you know what? That's shameful for somebody that rides in a car of y'all's at least 3 or 4 times a week. And in this situation, 4 times last night, that's despicable. Now, we do know that you have problems with your company. We get that. But that's unbelievable.
And not only have you social media shamed him, you've radio shamed him.
Yeah.
Because this show is not only going out over the air, but it's also going out on
this is international.
Yeah.
This is nationwide. This is iHeart. This is all of it. Yeah. We got this all going.
Actually,
on.
What you ought to do is send Brandon a letter saying,
thank
you know what?
You.
There's a competitor called Lyft. I'll be using your competitor from now on.
Oh, that's a great one. And by the way, thank you for the material. You know, I mean, seriously, I mean, I think that's high up on the, because I was thinking about all the ones that has happened to me in the past about those kind of, you know, wrong moves, you know, those jerk moves. I was thinking about that, and this just happened today, and I was like, this is perfect timing. I mean, it couldn't have happened faster. It couldn't have happened with more, you know, Godspeed, you know, on this deal. And I think this is what we're getting at to, is those are kind of being singled out. You're kind of being screwed over. So let's talk about what happens when you feel like you're being singled out. Let's talk about what you need to do, because I think we can all get behind this stuff. And I think the first thing is that we all think about calling higher-ups when we feel like we're getting singled out. But you have to sit there and think, if I call a higher up, is this going to help me out? Or is this just going to piss me off even more?
I don't know about calling higher ups, to be honest. Because the thing is, sometimes higher ups, sometimes they'll help. But at the same time, though, maybe the person that you're complaining about, maybe buddy-buddy with the higher up. You know, they might be drinking buddies or something like that. So to me, calling the higher up doesn't really, I don't know, it depends on the situation.
It definitely does.
Yeah, it does. It depends on the situation.
It does, because here's an insider secret, Keenan, because I used to work in a call center so many times. You know how call center management is graded?
How?
By length of call times.
Oh, by length of call times.
Right.
Okay.
The shorter the time, and therefore the more people you can get in, especially if it's the type of call center that sells things.
Right. Right.
Okay. Then, you know, the better their ratings, and therefore the bigger their bonuses.
Mm.
Okay. So, you know, when I was working in a call center, if somebody has a customer complaint, I want to speak to a manager, bang, get it over to the supervisor right away, because it gets that person off your phone. You go on to the next customer.
Right.
So if you are speaking to a call center, I want to speak to your manager. Have you ever done this, Ashley? If you call a call center, I want to speak to your manager, they put them on the manager on the phone right away.
Well, you know, my deal, too, is if we go back to my personal experience, if I have an issue with somebody, I usually try to clarify it with them first. I try to get it taken care of with them, because I'm not one of those big go-over-your-head type people. I see what you're saying, but if I can't get any farther, I'm going to do it. And I think sometimes we get intimidated. You know, you get intimidated.
Yes.
And I'm sure you saw that a lot of times there, too, is that people get intimidated. They don't want to deal with it. So instead of dealing with the situation, they just don't deal with it at all. When in actuality, why do we get intimidated? Like, why would I get intimidated by Brandon? Brandon, there is no face. He won't pick up the phone. What if that's a call center and everybody's named Brandon? I mean, think about it. There's either you go up to the higher ups, or like you said, you find an alternate route. Because sometimes when we go barking up a tree and we have an argument with something, there are a lot of people out there that don't want to help you at all.
And it's obvious from that letter that you got, Ashley. You know, he's just doing his job.
Well,
you know, his job is to deal with customer complaints, so he sends you the version of the bedbug letter.
I have had issues with Uber, and I also had issues with Lyft.
Oh, and you had issues with them too?
Yes, yes, yes. And the thing is, I found out that the best way to get a hold of them is actually via Twitter.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Because they're
Twitter. Yes, yeah. Yes. Twitter. Exactly.
Because how many people are on Twitter? And they don't want that kind of negative advertising.
Yeah, I can tell you. I mean, it's like 288 million people on Twitter, something like that. But I found out that social media is actually one of the best routes, because the thing is, everyone sees it. Well, via Twitter, that is. Because I know, who is it? American Airlines. They have an entire team of social media managers. And the thing is, every time that there's a complaint with American Airlines, someone always sends them a tweet. Or like, even where I work, I am the social media manager. If there's a complaint, we get tweets. They're not going to call the school. They're not going to email the school. They're going to hit us up via Twitter or Facebook.
You know, that's interesting you brought that up, because I was on Twitter a few weeks ago, and I actually brought up the fact, well, somebody had brought up the fact that I should be writing for the American Way magazine, the American Airlines magazine. And I made a comment about it, and they actually contacted me, and they want to see my stuff. And I sent them a copy of the couple of books out and all that kind of stuff. But the only reason was because of Twitter. And because I retweeted it, and I said, oh, yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, American Airlines is, like, messaging me.
Yeah.
Let's talk, you know what I mean? And you're right. It all comes down to the fact, you're right, I'm going to be on Twitter here in just a second. Because, you know, I can't do everything at one time, but I'm going to be on Twitter here in a second and make my comments. Because, you know, I love Brandon. I'm sure he's got a family and kids, or maybe not. Maybe Brandon is just, I don't know. But, you know, the point is that that makes perfect sense. Is, you know, because sometimes when we get overwhelmed and it's like a bullying situation, mm-hmm. you have to have another aspect or another route that you can take.
Yeah.
And it's not fair, and it happens all the time with the big companies out there where people get bullied and bullied and bullied over a bill that they don't owe.
Because you're just a number to them.
Because you're just a number.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're just a number. I think the next thing to look at when you're dealing with, you know, feeling like you're being singled out, is you don't want to get down over the situation. And the concept is, fighting is futile. And you got to kind of fight from a different angle. For example, if you deal with a bully on a day-to-day basis, they're going to be able to bully you more than you will ever be able to bully them. So fighting them on their level of fighting and tactics, it's not going to work. You have to actually deal with the situation. And if it means that you just need to let it go for your own sanity,
right,
let it go. But if you need to deal with this because it's out of the, it's because it's a situation, like, for example, it's $12 on this Uber situation, but it's the point of it. It's the point that you can't just bully people based on whatever kind of rules and regulations you want to make without the actual factual evidence there. And you're not going to take that into consideration. You're going to send me a form letter and sign it your name.
Yeah, because it's a power trip. You know,
I
have the authority. You know, it's kind of like the police officer, you know, what are you questioning me for? But a lot of people get that, you know, kind of mindset. You know, I'm the, you know, manager. I'm the case officer. I'm the customer service representative. And I'm the one in charge of this. And you're questioning me. How dare you?
And good luck with that.
Because, you know, when I'll be honest with you, when I was an insurance agent, sometimes I got caught up in that. You know, it's like, look, I went to, you know, I know what I went through to get my insurance license, you know, and studying insurance concepts in terms that would make most people fall asleep.
Right.
And, you know, what are you questioning me for? You know, I know how it works. You don't. I'm the expert at it.
Well, yeah, it was like that also when I was Air Force Security Forces, you know, whenever I was doing either law enforcement duties or, you know, security detail or even, you know, a ground combat. It was like, you know what, you know, my word is king, and whatever you say, whatever I say goes. And if you question me, then how dare you question me? However, I did have to take a step back from that even while I was serving in the U.S. Air Force, because after like really like analyzing certain situations or something like that, you know, I came to the conclusion that, you know, I could have, if I'd have did it a different route, a more gentle route, you know, then I could, you know, defuse the situation.
That's awesome. See, that's the key. If you could have diffused the situation. And I think the biggest thing too is like, don't stress out, don't freak out, because it stresses your body out. And sometimes when we go crazy, it just makes us look like a fool. Keep it in. Try to figure out the right way. Try to figure out the next move and try to outsmart them. So we had a great show for you tonight. From now on, don't feel bullied. Don't feel bullied, because you're not. You're strong. Stand up for yourself and just realize, what are the options? What are the ways around it? And how can you actually change the system? Good show, Keenan.
Thank you very much.
Awesome show, Bill.
And thank you very much. And by the way, thanks to all our listeners on Facebook and Twitter. Great comments tonight. Thanks very much.
I love y'all's comments, by the way. We're going to be doing this every show. And thanks so much for being a part of this show. It means a lot to us. We have a great show for you next week, and we can't wait for us to be back on the air. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, I guess this time we'll be back in three shakes.